Mark, have you ever been fishing?
Like twice in my life.
All right, that's good enough. We're going to talk about fish today.
Great.
Have you ever seen a bass?
Honestly, in real life, I'm not sure that I have.
Have you ever seen Billy the Bass on the wall?
Yes, a big Billy the Bass fan.
How big do you think Billy the Bass is?
13 inches.
Okay. Weight, what do you think?
I don't know, with the electron, like 3 pounds, something like that. I don't know.
Probably. How big do you think the biggest bass ever caught was?
All right. Well, if we're talking in terms of Billy the Bass, let's say it's like three Billy the Basses. I don't know. We'll round up 10 pounds.
Twice that. 22 and a half pounds.
Wow.
It was caught by a guy in, of all places, Japan.
Is that surprising? Are bass
are not native to Japan. They were stocked there for recreational purposes, and one managed to grow into the largest bass ever caught.
Wow. And when was this?
This was in 2009.
2009.
Yeah. It's a record that stood now for 14 years. The question, though, is, Mark, do you believe it?
Well, you know, fishermen, notorious liars, I think. So, I mean, how could you even prove it?
Well, lucky for you, there is an organization that seeks to set the record straight from all these fishermen talking about how big of a fish they caught. They went to Japan and subjected the man to a polygraph test.
Awesome.
He passed.
Excellent.
22 and a half pounds as proven by a lie detector test.
Great. I'm glad this is, you know, we've got top men out there to make sure that our fishermen are on the up and up.
Mark, I brought this up because I want to talk to you about one of my favorite pinball machines that is fish or maybe even bass themed. It is Fishtails.
Ah, a classic.
Fishtails is indeed a classic pinball machine. I thought we could talk a little bit about it, maybe go play it and see what we think about it.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, I have seen Fishtails in my life before. I've played it, but I don't think I've ever done like a deep dive, right? So this is a great idea.
Before we do that, let's talk a little bit about what we're doing here. I'm Drew, and you are Mark.
Yes.
And we are two friends who enjoy pinball. Don't claim to be particularly good at it, but we're on a mission.
Yeah, I think the goal when you and I talked about this a long time ago was, you know, part of the reason I'm in pinball is because of the enthusiasm that you have for the game. And that is sort of, I think, infectious, right? When someone is really interested in something and they can kind of show you this hobby and you discover the world that it is beneath that. And that's sort of the goal that we're setting out to do here, right? Is sort of look at a machine on a case-by-case basis as through like this amateur lens, hobbyist kind of view, and discover what makes good machines good, what makes mediocre machines not so good, and if we find any, what makes a terrible machine awful.
Good point. Fishtails is from the early 90s, kind of the golden age of pinball, many people think, by Williams, one of the biggest designers of pinball, and interestingly designed by a guy named Mark Ritchie, who...
This is the important question, though. How does Mark spell his name?
It's a K.
Oh, okay. He's dead to me.
Yeah. Well, you might want to rethink that. Mark has designed many pinball machines, and Fishtails is probably one of his more famous ones. Over 13,000 of them produced.
Wow. Now, I, you know more about pinball and the culture than I do. The culture is what I think people refer to it as. And is that a lot? Like, is 13,000 a lot of machines to have been made?
It puts it in the top 20 of all time. Pinball companies don't release a lot of data anymore than like they used to on terms of like total number produced, but no pinball machine has crossed the 10,000 mark in probably 25 years.
Wow.
Maybe 30.
So prolific. And it's interesting because Fishtails, right, is not, it's not like a branded sort of machine that you might see, you know, if you go to your bar and you see James Bond or whatever, right? Like it's not branded to like some sort of intellectual property. Is that right?
No, completely unique. It's just a pinball about fishing. And I think you'll find that's kind of true of a lot of older machines, is that they tend to have unique, you know, themes and branding that are not tied to a movie or a TV show. And that's something we're kind of missing from pinball these days, but you know, it's one of the things I like about Fishtails.
So what makes Fishtails special then? Like what is it about Fishtails that, you know, stands out to you before we go and check this machine out in person.
I think I really appreciate how fully they lean into the fish theming. So instead of having a traditional plunger on the right hand to launch the ball, you have a rod handle that you just push a button on, kind of like you're going fishing, right? And everything on the inside is all about catching fish and weighing the fish and stretching the truth about how big it is. And my absolute favorite mechanic is there's a reel mechanism that captures balls inside of it and rotates around to start a multi-ball. And I think that's really neat. And it's one of my favorite things about the machine.
Okay. So yeah, it leans pretty heavy into the not only the aesthetic of like what people like about the sport of fishing, you know, reeling, but also like the community that exists in fishing about, you know, stretching the truth and how big. You wouldn't believe it. He was a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you can catch a fish and then hit a spinner to multiply the size of that fish by 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, which is kind of fun.
Excellent. Anything else to say about this?
I think that's probably the most we need to cover for the intro. I say we go check it out and then talk about how we think about it.
All right, let's go. All right, so we're back. That was a good time. Full disclosure, I've played Fishtails before, but I've never, this is our first time going through playing pinball machines, I think, and having sort of a critical eye on like what makes something interesting or unique or like would draw a player back. So I think it was really kind of fun to think about Fishtails in that way.
Yeah, I think it's especially helpful to kind of think about Fishtails in a structured way. And what we did is we went and looked through in three categories, kind of the game design of the machine, the theming of the machine, and then kind of an overall fun score of the machine. I think that really helped me kind of look at the machine through a different angle and kind of think about those things and how they work together.
Yeah. And I liked about thinking about it in that way too, is since we're amateurs, right? Like, you know, I don't profess to be good at pinball,
right?
But I sure do like it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a good way that, you know, someone that maybe is listening to this podcast could think about and say, oh, you know, I've never really given pinball like a fair shake. Like I've just sort of whacked the ball around. Like, you know, maybe this gives people an idea on like things that stand out and, you know, would make it worth their time.
Yeah. I think it gives you something to look for when you're playing a machine out in the wild. So with that,
in the wild, that's a great way to say it. Also, I think it's important to mention at the end of the analysis of our sort of, we had a couple of games to kind of play and take down our notes. But then importantly, Drew and I had a head to head battle, best of three game. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself or anything, but stay tuned on how that went.
All right, let's get into it then. Let's talk about the game design first of Fishtail. I think we touched on the theming a little bit, but in addition to the fish theming, there's some actually pretty interesting design elements in Fishtails. My favorite of them is the port and starboard speedboat shots. Is that what they're called?
I mean, port and starboard are definitely boating terms, but right. Like I am no sailor in the same way that I am no fisherman. So sure, that's what we'll call them. There is definitely a speedboat kind of peeking out of the water, right? At like a 45 degree angle almost.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So right smack in the middle of the play field, there are these two kind of intersecting ramps, and you can get into kind of a fun loop where you shoot the ramp on the left and it kicks it right back to the right flipper. And you shoot the one on the right and it kicks it to the left flipper. I think that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was, I don't know if you had this happen in your playthroughs, but if you don't have the power to go all the way around the boat, there is like a weird catch that like sends it back down like a different ramp. I can't quite figure out how to describe that, but like, it's interesting to me that they thought about this mechanic of like, it's not just going to always shoot down the same way that it came up the boat. Like there's like a little bit of like you get up to the top and then it kicks back down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I like that. It's really neat because there's that intersecting part where it can either keep going the intended way to the other side of the machine, or it'll fall back down onto the flippers if you didn't have enough speed. Anyway, I think that's my favorite part of the machine because you can get into this just really satisfying loop of back and forth and back and forth hitting both of them. which is it's a pretty accessible shot. It's not too hard and very fun, very satisfying, I thought.
Yeah, and one thing that is really ultra satisfying about that is if you get in that rhythm of going up, you know, you go up the left side of the boat and then you come back and then you go up the right side of the boat and then you do that enough times, each one of those is lighting a small fish on that like rope that's above the four main fish on the playfield. Mm-hmm. And at the end, it unlocks this like monster, like we mentioned a monster fish mm-hmm. back when we recorded this before we left. And it was interesting to me that like it rewards you at like, if you hit all of those loops and you light all those fish, like suddenly you have to hit one of the spinners or one of the outside loop shots to get like score big points on a monster fish, which I think like is fun. That leans into this idea of fishtails. And
yeah, I think another thing I thought about with the gameplay was that there seems to be a lack of modes in fishtails compared to a lot of other machines. So let's talk a little bit about modes. How would you describe a mode in pinball?
Yeah, so I almost think about it from like a gamer perspective, like you might, you know, on PC or console or something, right? Like each mode is sort of a different mini game or like a level that you're trying to unlock, and usually successful completion of a mode, I think, results in, you know, either awarding big points or, you know, unlocks like a multi-ball. Those are the way that I usually sort of think about modes. They give you objectives and yeah, then you have to hit unique shots to complete them.
Right. I think that's the most important part, is that it gives you kind of a unique objective for a short part of the game. So until you complete these objectives, that's your new mission. In Fishtails, I didn't really pick up on that as much.
Yeah. And you know, that you mentioned two things that are already in my notes. I think the game loops is very satisfying. Like there's something really like scratching an itch in my brain to hit some of those like, you know, speedboat shots. But on the same side, yeah, it didn't feel like there was a ton to accomplish in the game, right? Yeah. Like you can hit the speedboat, you can try to lock the ball into the rod, and then, you know, what else are you doing really?
Yeah, I will confess I didn't get, you know, particularly far in my little playthroughs here, but as I understand it, you can kind of keep catching fish, and at some point you kind of get to an end game where you're just scoring tons of points on every shot. And it's just like, if you get far enough in the game, then all of a sudden every shot is worth like 5 or 10 million or something. But that doesn't seem quite as satisfying as if you had to, like, you know, catch a bass in one specific mode and then catch a walleye in another.
Yeah. There is, you know, there is like the video mode that you can unlock by hitting that spinner that's out the same place where you stretch the truth when you catch a fish, which is also just like a thematically very satisfying kind of idea. You catch a fish and then you get to lie about it. But that's like the same place where the ball gets kind of caught in a little cup and, or a saucer, whatever the technical term is, I'm not sure. But then that unlocks like a video mode sometimes, and you're shooting boaters and jet skiers off of the lake.
Jet skiers and water skiers. It's like, get off my lake.
And that is, you know, that is sort of satisfying.
Okay.
If I'm being honest.
Bonus points for the video mode. I think I love a good video mode, and that's a great one, I think.
Yeah, agreed. One thing that, you know, from the game, like in terms of lack of modes and kind of game design, like you didn't mention the captive ball, which is kind of it's in the center of the speedboat, right?
Yeah.
I actually, as part of assessing the game design, I didn't think it was very clear as a player on what that was doing for me.
Yeah, I can't for the life of me remember right now. What do you have in your notes there about that?
I don't have a lot. I'm looking at my notes and I'm looking at a picture of the play field from when we were just playing. And I remember you hit the captive ball to like do a hold bonus for one point for like one portion of the game. And a hold bonus is, you know, any bonus points you get at the end of the ball, it will save that and bring them over to you for your next ball in case, you know, you had a big bonus that you had saved up somewhere. You can basically reuse that, which is, you know, a benefit, but like, beyond that, I think there are other elements of the captive ball that I just didn't see because I'm not the greatest pinballer of all time. And it was a bit of a bummer because you know that I'm a big sucker for hitting captive pinballs on a playfield.
So I've heard. This brings up, I think, an interesting thing that I've thought about is kind of like, how do you assess the legibility of a pinball machine? That is to say, how easily can you kind of tell what you're supposed to be doing just from the layout of the machine?
Yeah. And that's, you know, a thing that I've been trying to think about as we've been going, when we decided to go into this today and think about game design, it's an interesting question. I think Fishtails in a lot of ways succeeds. You know, the big arrows on the boat, the fact that the boat is there at all, drawing most of your attention, I think is helpful in at least getting you into some early big points. But then it's not, to your point about lack of modes, it's pretty unclear then in how do we get the big points, right? How do you start suddenly raking in these like $10 million point shots or whatever? And maybe that's an early 90s pinball thing that we'll see as we go through more of these.
I think a lot of it comes down to the incentives for a pinball owner or designer in drawing you in and making you want to come back and discover those. You know, you keep pumping quarters into the things so that you can figure it out.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, I guess if we're talking about the golden age of pinball in the 90s, right, where were these things? Arcades. And so they were meant to sort of probably just eat a bunch of quarters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe there is some intentionality of being slightly obscure on what you ought to be doing.
Yeah, but it's a fine line, because if it's super frustrating and opaque, then nobody's going to want to play it.
Yeah,
Fishtails is not that for me.
No, I agreed. And it's something that felt like I could come into it, and quickly I found a couple of shots that really worked for me.
Yeah.
And that was that scratched an itch that made me want to keep playing. But yeah, in terms of like the longer term, like the end game, if I ever could get a chance to see one on Fishtails, I don't know if I'm that good, but more importantly, I don't even know if I would know how to get there. And maybe it was written on the, you know, a lot of pinball machines in the bottom left will have instructions on different shots you want to make. I didn't read those for this machine.
Yeah, I feel like I need a glossary every time I look at those, because they're really short descriptions about what to do, that if you have played a lot of pinball machines, then you know what to do. But then if you've played a lot of pinball machines, you're probably not reading the instructions either. So.
Yeah, and you sort of sit in between both of those spaces, right? Because you've played a lot of pinball machines. But I would, you know, I'd call you an upper level amateur. Like, you're certainly better than me, I think, more often than not.
I think anybody who's played pinball with me in person would probably disagree with you there. But thank you for the...
Yeah, no problem. Let's not think about what that means for my skill level. All right. Anything else that you had on? So give me a sort of a grade on game design.
Yeah, we'll give it. I'd say 3 stars out of 5. I like it. I think there's a lot better, but it's solid.
Yeah, I have it dead there as well. 3 out of 5 in terms of stars. I'd call it solidly in the middle. I want more stuff to do, because once I learned how to hit a few of those shots, I felt like, great, what else can I do?
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's talk, I guess, a little bit more about the theme and how the theme blends in with the game, how it mixes in with all the other elements. We've touched on it a little bit, but I think they did a great job. I think that the fact that you're spelling out lie, L-I-E, with your rollover targets at the top, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing that increases your multiplier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cute. And it's also sort of interesting about lie too, is it's on the back, like the backboard of the play field, instead of, presumably because you can't really see that part of the play area very well with your eyes, which is kind of unique to that machine, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that was more common in older machines,
having the like indicator lights on like the back wall versus on the play field.
Yeah, and also it's a kind of a busy back play field there anyway, so there's really nowhere else to put it, I guess. But yeah, you bring up a good point.
Yeah, sorry. Anyways, the idea that it ties lying into it. What else do you got?
Yeah, stretching the truth we've talked about. That's really fun. Obviously, there are fish all over the thing. Like, it's pretty clear that's what's going on. The one that we played actually had a topper, right? Which is a kind of a decorative element that goes on top of the machine. Adds nothing to the gameplay, but it looks like Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Yeah, there. Speaking of big, like, it might as well have been, as far as I'm concerned. Because as I recall, it also sort of flaps.
Yeah.
Or was that just in my head?
No, I remember it too, but now I'm questioning. I think it was in like the attract mode. It was trying to get people to come play. And
yeah, maybe that's what it could also just be that it looks so much like Big Mouth Billy Bass that in my recollection that it was just singing Take Me to the River.
Yeah, I don't think it was singing. Good music though, actually, on that subject of the theme. It's got that earworm of a banjo song playing in the background.
Yeah, it's very... country's not the right word. I don't know, bumpkin, something. Like, very fishing...
It feels right. It feels... goes on.
Fishing authentic.
Fishcore, I think, is the name for that kind of music.
As mentioned, as a prolific fisherman, I can certainly attest to the appropriateness of the music.
Yeah. What else you got for theme, Mark?
You touched on, I think, the two that I really, really, really liked, which is how much it, like, the theme ties into the game mechanics of stretching. Like, if you're going to call the game Fish Tales, like, you really got to lean into this idea that fishermen are kind of full of it. And I love that you spell lie. I love that when you catch a fish, you have to, like, you get bigger points for stretching the truth. And then, you know, it has this little silly animation of this, and this is from the 90s, right? So it's like a, I'm going to basically call it a clip art fish. That's doing an injustice to the game.
It's a dot matrix, right?
Yeah, right. Is the screen. And so, like, they've made this, like, sort of detailed but pixelated fish, and then when it stretches, it gets really pixelated because they're just imagine taking a clip art and, like, PowerPoint and just, like, dragging the corner. And I really, 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 really like that. I also, as far as themes go, I like how I mentioned this before we went to go play it, like, unique the theming is, right? It's not an intellectual property that we've seen, and in the year 2024, it feels like, you know, that's sort of rare to find a machine that isn't branded in some way. So to be able to play something that's from the 90s that leaned into just, like, its totally own unique kind of zany idea, like, really speaks to me. And
what's a theme you'd come up with today? Like, spitball here.
Give
me some ideas.
I don't know. What are people doing?
You have a TikTok pinball machine.
Now, see, but it's branded. Yeah. I was, like, the first thing I thought of, which is hilarious because neither of us use TikTok.
No.
That's how in touch we are. Maybe just a generic internet-themed machine.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot of ground to cover in one pinball machine. How about a video game streamer? Like, it doesn't have to be Twitch.
Okay.
Just, like, I'm thinking...
But you're using the purple aesthetic for sure.
You know, people stream on, like, YouTube, and they stream on – there's another one I can't remember.
Yep, there's another one, and it's doing so well, presumably, because you can think of it.
Kick.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say it.
Kick.
Yep. Must be doing great.
Nah, I don't know. It might not even be around anymore.
You know, that would be interesting. I also thought, like, I don't know, memes, but that sort of feels like IP, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you? You got any – original ideas kicking around in there?
I think how about a skiing themed one? I don't think I've seen one.
Like downhill, like winter skiing.
Downhill, yeah, like downhill skiing.
Oh, okay.
I think you could do some fun stuff with, like, you know, the difficulty levels of the different modes. Like, you got your
yeah, like you've got your, like, blue
green squares, blue circles, black diamonds.
Yeah. You could have, like, a half pipe or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe that's more snowboarding themed, but
sure. I'm not going to get into that, but
yeah. All right. I'm in.
All right. There you go.
Where do you rank back to Fishtails? Where do you rank Fishtails on theme then? If you were to give me a grade,
pretty good. Pretty good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I really like it.
I'm worried you were looking at my notes when I wrote them down. I don't think it's quite perfect, and maybe that's just cause I'm not a fisherman, but, like, it's captured my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I do regularly play Fishtails if I get a chance. And now that I've looked at it critically, like, I think I appreciate what it was doing more than, you know, before we did this.
You got a 4 out of 5 too?
I do.
All right. Yeah. We did not.
Swear if your last one is the same.
Something tells me it's not going to be, but let's move right to it.
Okay.
The fun. I think there's not a lot to say other than it's a fun game. I think. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing, there's nothing we haven't already said, I think, in game design that sort of impacts fun, right? The fact that I can get bored of some of the shots because I only know how to hit a handful of them and there's not a lot of clear objectives for me detracts from some of the fun. But otherwise, it's a quick machine. Like, it feels like you're on a speedboat because that speedboat shot is fast. Like, you're stretching the, it's enjoyable. It's very, very enjoyable.
I think the speedboat shot for me is what, like, puts it over the top. It's just so satisfying. I find it to be, I don't know, just one of my favorite shots of any pinball machine I've ever played.
High praise.
Yeah, it is. And just like everything else just feels like it flows really well. Things come back and land on the flippers. You're not like bricking a lot of shots.
That's true. There aren't a ton that just like immediately crush your heart. Like when you hit like a rubber post and it just shoots straight down and drains. Like yep. There's not a lot of that.
It feels like you're kind of just smooth sailing all around.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. And well, all right.
So here's where I think we're going to differ.
So what do you have? Cause now maybe I'm going to just steal your score. Cause maybe you're convincing me.
I gave it a 5.
Wow.
I think it's one of the most fun machines.
You think it is perfect in terms of fun?
I think it's in the top 20% of fun.
Oh, okay. That's a really good way to sort of analyze that when you're going through scores. Is it in the percentile?
Yeah. I think, I'm willing to give 20% of machines a 5 on fun.
Wow.
What you got?
Well, now I'm going to look like a dick.
No, it's okay.
I gave it a 3. I think I think it's a, and here's why, right? I love the video mode, knocking the jet skiers off their watercraft. I like how in the zone you can get with some of those loops, but I think when, and this is, maybe we'll also, we'll talk about how our head to head went, but at least one of my games was not very good because when you're not hitting your shots, the game can go by pretty quick.
Yeah. I had similar experience, but I did kind of get in the zone, at least for one of them. Not going to be breaking any world records, but it was a really fun game for me.
Yeah. No, and I don't think that's necessarily swaying your fun factor, just because you had a good run on it. And I don't think that's negatively impacting mine, but like I see it from like in, if someone listening to this was like, oh, you know what, I want to go check it. Like there's a Fishtails in the bar near your house. That's a way people talk. Mm-hmm. And they want to go check it out and it's their first time playing pinball. I feel like that person could be disappointed because the sort of what they call autocast, which is kind of a fun terminology thing, the thing that saves the ball, mm-hmm. doesn't last super long compared to some more modern machines, which is probably configurable, but yeah, I have played Fishtails elsewhere from where we just came, played it from. And I think, that could detract from a new player's perspective, how quick those games can go until you get in the zone. And the lack of modes, I think, if someone's not feeling any of those shots, they just be like, what am I doing here? Like, and so, that puts it in an average.
I almost feel like opposite for those same reasons, that the lack of modes, I think, makes it a little more approachable for a casual pinball player. Like it's pretty clear, just hit just about any shot and you're making good progress. You're hearing fun sound effects. You're seeing cool animations.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a good point. And I think if anyone hasn't played it and goes out there and does, and wants to let us know who they agree with more, that's a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, good. You didn't crib my notes is the important part. Yeah. It's solidly average for me, I think.
All right.
And then based on theme overall, I would say the machine is above average. Like it's fun. It's worth checking out, but it's, is it one that I would put in the pantheon? Maybe not.
I think I'm a little bit above, I hold it in high esteem. I like Fishtails.
It's a demigod for you. It's not in the pantheon. It's not like, it's not Athena.
We're talking.
It's Hercules.
It's Hercules. Yeah. Kind of like
Heracles, I guess, technically, if we're going Greek.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You know what? There's my idea. I would do Greek gods.
Greek gods for
a pinball machine.
A pinball machine. Yeah.
We'll call it the Pantheon.
I like it. I like it.
Thank you. I will be taking no more questions about that. Let's talk about this head to head thing, how that worked.
Okay. Yeah. We played best of 3, best score out of 3 to kind of like let us, get into the machine, kind of get rid of any outliers. And we just took the best score out of 3. And my best score was 77,958,720.
And I was way below that.
Okay.
I'll tell you my worst game. Didn't crack double digits of millions, which is not good in Fishtails.
Yeah, I was down there with you.
My best game was 25 million and change.
Okay.
So I was a third of you, which you know, as you pointed out, it's not going to crack, your score is not going to crack any record books.
Not even on that machine.
Right? Not even on that machine. And yeah, it was a painful game for me. And I don't know.
I think that if I had, you know, access to a machine that I could play regularly, I could see myself, you know, putting in more time and getting better at it and learning the rules better. But I was happy with the game I had.
All right. What else is there to say about Fishtails, Drew?
I think that about covers it up.
So is it time for me to bring in the polygraph machine to make sure that your score is checked out?
No comment.